This week two NFL picks and Bill Burr edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by MyBookie.ag. Winning season is back, and MyBookie is now offering a 100% deposit bonus when you use the promo code SGP. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP to play, win, and get paid. We're also brought to you by the leaders in daily fantasy, DraftKings. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week two action. Enter code SGP to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code SGP only at DraftKings. We're also brought to you by BetQL. Want to get an advantage over the sportsbook with NBA, NHL, college football, MLB, and the NFL back in action? You need to download BetQL, the only app you'll need to make smart bets this season. Head to BetQL.co and enter code SGP20 for 20% off your first subscription. That's BetQL.co, promo code SGP20. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay per head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP.
This is Jim Mora, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Fucking shine box.
Ooh, welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, Second Money Green, with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer Dog?
Football. Look, I'm still recovering. I'll be honest with you. I forgot the feeling of being that tired on a Monday.
Oh wow!
I forgot the feeling of being that irritated with football on a Tuesday. I forgot the feeling of hating fantasy football after half my teams are just completely riddled with bullshit. So fuck fantasy football.
Well, season long, especially. That's why you got to go DFS with the daily. Because then, if you get an injury, whatever, it's just 1 week.
I like both. I like a little A. I like a little B, Sean. And I got to be honest, I think this year more than most, maybe I'm becoming an old guy, but I'm just like these fucking guys with their injuries, their soft tissue. I mean, you're a professional fucking athlete. I don't care if you didn't have a preseason.
Well, I mean, in 2011, there were a ton of soft tissue injuries, no cramping, hammies.
Giants aren't having injuries. That's a good news.
I would say there's another way to look at it, and that it's bad news because they still look like shit without injuries. Aww. Once the injuries start to hit. No. Kramer, all right, anyway, I mean, you sorry. Just went, you walked into it. The Giants, it was very disappointing. Obviously, the Eagles losing to the Redskins, yep. Or sorry, the football team losing football to a team with no name is so embarrassing.
News. Breaking news, Sean.
Yeah,
breaking news, Sean. It might be the permanent name of the football team.
It's kind of
the permanent name for a football team.
It's kind of a brilliant,
is it
strategy?
I don't know if I agree with that.
I think it's because everyone's still going to call it the Redskins. That's what he wanted. And again,
Sean, let me tell you why you don't like it either. This is the beginning of American sports taking after sports overseas, soccer clubs, and diminishing the value of the team's nickname in place of just the club name or the city name. So no. I worry this is
a slippery slope leading soccer? Towards soccer, then I want nothing next? To part
are we
of
gonna
it.
Call it the WFC? That's not what you want. The WFT. The WTFs would be pretty funny. What is that? Where the Philadelphia football team?
No, they're always going to be
wearing your football team scarf, Sean. Are you going to be doing your football team march? No, you don't want any of this. And I love see what you're being sucker punched like the rest of this great country by the scum that is Daniel Snyder. He is trying to inject soccer culture into the National Football League in front of everyone in the disguise of night. And people are like, oh, this is great. He's telling Goodell to go fuck himself. This is great. Now people are going to have to say the football team.
It's an asshole move, but I have some respect for the idea of him just saying, fuck it. We don't need a name. It is weird that they play in FedEx Field. So their field has a name, yet they don't.
Well, their field is, they're just going to be the first team that's sponsored. And the name is going to be the, we went down this road, right? The Primes, maybe the Arrow. I think someone threw out the Arrows for FedEx,
the Washington Grinders,
the Washington Grind, the Washington Tinders, the
Bumbles.
But isn't that where we're headed? Where the name is just, it just be, forget writing Eagles across the front of the jersey. It's just, you know, Emirates. Or again, back to the soccer thing, Sean. Be careful, right. Slippery slope.
We've talked way too much about soccer. This is the week two NFL National Football League picks podcast, and we're changing things up slightly schedule wise. We are going to recap the week picks in its own podcast. Yep. We did the week one recap. We did it Sunday night live, right after the Sunday night game. It's going to be streamed live on YouTube. YouTube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast. So check in. And if you want to see that live, hit us up, do a little chatting there while we're doing the podcast. So if you're looking for a recap before and you missed out, go back, check out that podcast. Obviously our DFS podcast already came out, and our college football podcast and the DFS podcast. We talked a little NBA. We talked a little US Open. There's just so much going on sports wise.
It's weird to think about this, Sean, but in a weird, this is the end of our working week almost, right?
Yeah.
Now it's the pleasure
of Wednesday it. Clocking out and then clocking back in Sunday AM, getting fired up for the pregame Periscope. We will be joined by Bill Burr again. And we're going to do a little chat with old Billy Burr and then get to all the picks. Ryan, before we do that, the free roll football contest.
Sean.
Yes.
You told me no more soccer.
No more soccer. And yet, look at this.
Who sits in the top spot after week one? But
it is a tie. But one of the people tied for first place, our own soccer expert, a true football expert. In all the sense, Billy Bahate,
host of the Soccer Gambling Podcast,
he just won himself some free SGP merch.
Premier League is back.
Yes,
Das Bundesliga coming back.
Him and Jay Herbert.
Well, is that Justin Herbert? Has he had some time on the sidelines down there for the Chargers?
So they combined for the Week One winner.
Real quick, Sean. Sorry, 13-2-1. That's pretty fire. That is pretty fire.
Red hot. And hit us up, podcast at sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
You're not that far off the pace, Sean.
Yeah. I pulled a 9-6-1.
9-6-1. That's not so bad.
Felt pretty good about that.
I did enjoy. We're not going to go through the whole top 10, but I did enjoy some of these names. Thought we could take a second to nutsack differential. That's very, very straight to the point. A guy named Cowboy Pete. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but congratulations, sir. Colby Aflack, of course, a tip of the cap to Colby's clear cousin from another mother with the Afflacks, specifically Casey. And then the last one I was going to throw out there, Go Bearcats, friend of the program.
Oh, wow.
In the top 10. So.
And
Scott Eshelman, he's longtime fans.
And make sure you, Go Bearcats has he puts a ton of cool. Whatever his day job is, he does like deep analytics, and he's always sharing spreadsheets and stuff.
He's a man with a strong spreadsheet game. I can appreciate
Ryan recognizes game, and he's hanging out in Slack. So if you need another reason to hop in our Slack, mix it up there. A lot of fun. I'm sure there'll be a ton of golf chat going.
And I mean, honestly, he built this really awesome spreadsheet that I think we're working on a way to get it on the site so you can download it. But just based on someone else in Slack asking for it.
Yeah.
So you want to get into Slack. I don't see why, if you're not in Slack, you're crazy, especially right now for the US Open. You mentioned the golf chatter. Steve is, if you read his articles, he essentially writes a bunch of articles in the Slack channel.
Yes.
If you listen to the Golf Gambling Podcast with Boston Capper and Steve Shermer, you definitely want to get in there.
Fucking wheel, man.
Every morning, Steve is mixing it up with updates, guys, things to look at, weather. Sorry, Sean. I know you were trying to get through it, but I'm in a plugging mood.
Well, plug away, Ryan.
Well, I'm going to do some plugging later, but for now, I'm going to plug things on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network.
All right. Look out.
You're welcome.
And of course, MyBookie.ag. Football back. Hell football yeah. is back. Yeah. Went 3-2 in my MyBookie Super Contest.
3-1-1, Sean.
There you go, Kramer. There's still you can still hop in the MyBookie Super Contest. Only $10 to join. Of course, the main reason you want to go over to MyBookie.ag. Besides all the lines we're going to be breaking down here in just a second, that sweet, sweet 100% deposit bonus.
Hell yeah.
Very easy to use. Low rollover requirements. Just drop it in there. Just did our little season reload with the cryptocurrency. Get a sweet, sweet bonus there. They got blackjack tournaments. Obviously, US Open, NBA. Whatever you want to bet on, mybookie.ag has you covered. Oh, man. And it's a cornucopia of prop bets. We gave some out Monday night as part of the recap podcast. Plenty of prop bets over at mybookie.ag. And when you're heading over to mybookie.ag, make sure you use a promo code SGP so that you can play, win, and most importantly, get paid. Joining us on the line, comedian, Patriots fan, Bill Burr. Bill, Pat started 1-0 in the Cam Newton era. How exciting was that?
You know, it was definitely, I was happy that we got the win. The Dolphins always play as difficult, always play as tough. I mean, I was excited about our offensive line looked good. I still saw, you know, some of the problems we had from last year slightly improved, but it's early on. You know, I have faith in Bill Belichick. Cam Newton looked great. I'm not too excited that he was our top rusher.
Yeah.
You know, 75 yards. I mean, I'm kind of old school with that where I just feel like you're going to get hurt. So hopefully, you know, Sony Michel will, you know,
pick it up
those yards for us and he can stand in the pocket and guys like Harry can maybe step up or something like that. You need like a viable number two receiver. And I thought our defense looked pretty good.
You don't strike me as a jersey guy, but if you were to get a Cam Newton jersey, are you waiting till he wins a certain number of games, till he hits a certain threshold?
Yeah, dude, I haven't bought a jersey since I was like a kid. I mean, I maybe got like a Steve Grogan one. I think was the last one I had.
Probably a badass throwback one now.
Well, it wasn't the Mitchell and Ness version of it. It was the Herman Sporting Goods version. So, No, I'm all in with Cam. Cam's our guy. And, you know, the guy is an amazing quarterback. He's got incredible arm, field vision, and all of that type of stuff. You just got to have more than 1 week to get on the same page.
Now, the other big game we talked about last week, Brady and the Bucks went down to New Orleans.
I went 0-2 on my bets.
0-2 against the spread, but your team won. So you kind of hedged yourself there. Brady looked good early. He had that drive. He had the rushing touchdown. It seemed like things were going well, and then it just kind of unraveled for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put that on him. I mean, there was a couple times he thought a guy was going to keep running, and he stops. You know, he did have the pick six, but I mean, that happens. It just happens. It's week one, I thought. But what I saw that was great as a fan, but upsetting because he's not on the Patriots anymore. Still has the same zip, still has the same fire, the leadership and all of that. I mean, I think Tampa Bay is going to be a problem for people.
Well, now the Bucks, they're at home. They're laying 9 points against the Carolina Panthers. What do you think about the bounce back game for Tom Brady and the Bucks?
I think this is going to be a nice week for them to go out and score some points. Get some sports writers on their side. I think they're going to have a great game. You know, the 11,000 people that are allowed to go to the stadium will be excited to see Tom. And, you know, we shall see.
It is funny how they
Gronkowski back out there too.
Yeah. It was good to see him catch a couple passes. Didn't do anything. OJ Howard got the touchdown.
The NFL is better with Gronk in it. That's all. And Gronk in Tampa is also probably good for things. So I'm happy with the situation. I'm a little sad they got up to the loss because now everyone gets to start chirping about Belichick versus Brady, which we don't need right now. But, you know, I don't know, Sean.
Well, you knew that was going to happen.
I know, but it's on the tee. It's on the tee, and now people are hitting it. So hopefully Brady comes back with a vengeance.
Yeah, I mean, against that,
people could just not pay attention to that crap. I think so much of that stuff just, it's a symptom of 24 hours of media. And then there's also like just, you know, that's just how they sell every show. This person yeah. versus that person, this candidate versus that candidate, this country versus that country. So
red versus blue. Yeah. The Big Ten, they're coming back. And it was, and we kind of hit on this last week talking about the, where they draw the lines for college football. It seems to be political, like all these Southern Republican states, they were all in on football early. Then these swing states in the Big Ten, they were not doing it. And now they are doing football. And then the super left blue states are holding out no football. Maybe it'll be later on. It's just hilarious how it's falling right on party lines again.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, they make the schools so much money.
Oh, God.
Even all, nobody's going to show up to watch the math team solve problems. So, I mean, that's what it is. And, you know, I mean, I think it's easier for, you know, some of the, obviously the Ivy League and stuff like that. I mean, they get probably more money from, you know, eggheads that used to go there, giving them money, whatever the hell, however the hell that works out there. But
yeah, the football team isn't carrying Harvard's endowment. It's going to be all scientists kicking back money.
Yeah. But I mean, if 100,000 people were showing up every week to see Harvard play Yale, then they would be playing too. I mean, at the end of the day, they got to make their money.
Big, big Thursday night game, Bengals at Browns. Where are you at with Baker Mayfield? And what'd you
think? Isn't it Bengals? There's like three different pronunciations. I don't even know how you just said it. My buddy says he says Bengals like the girl band.
Yeah,
it's Bengals.
Oh, you know, this is how dumb I am. I didn't realize there was a difference between the girl band and the football team. I assumed they were the same.
They're all the Bengals.
Yeah, they're all the Bengals. don't disrespect the band with how the Bengals have played the last few years.
Oh man, that was a heartbreaking loss for Bengals fans everywhere. That offensive PI to kind of cost him the game, and then the kicker comes out, pulls his calf right as he's going for the game tying field goal.
Yeah, brutal. You gotta hate an offensive pass interference just because they never call it. So when they do call it, it just seems like it's this personal vendetta against you and your team. But you know, there was a bad period there where you couldn't even look at a receiver and they would throw a flag. But I think they've done a pretty good job of correcting stuff like that. But Joe Burrow looked great. Totally looks like a gamer, and that he's going to be able to play at the NFL level, which is awesome. I'm a huge LSU fan.
They're such a fun team. Go Tigers. Edo, yeah. What a character. They're a super fun team.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm kind of happy now that there's NFL football 3 days a week. You know, I used to kind of complain about the Thursday game with the friggin' the awful uniforms and then how it was only on the NFL network. And for a while I couldn't get the NFL network unless I changed my whole, whatever cable I had back then. I was kind of against it. Now during this crap, I'm actually loving it.
Yeah. It gives you something to watch, a primetime game, but yeah, Bengals are getting 6 points in Cleveland. Do you think they cover? Do you think they hang with the Browns?
Yeah, I think they beat them.
Oh wow. Outright. I like it.
I think they come in there outright, beat them. One of those stupid divisional rivalry games. I always hate betting those games too, but yeah, I think the Bengals go in and just straight up beat them. I know, but Cleveland has a good running game, right? They have a good running back, but
they got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I think they could give the Bengals rush defense some problems. I think that's going to be key.
Baker's still the quarterback though. And that's probably the problem with them. They didn't look too good week one.
I just never seen a guy get so much shit before he even played.
Yeah, no, he really, Baker's gotten a ton of crap.
He's both gotten a lot of shit and been crowned all before he's done anything. And now it is funny to watch him in those commercials where the stadium is his house. And he's, I mean, 38-6. What was the score? It's not a good look. Maybe more football, less acting.
It is brutal though when your quarterback's getting destroyed in the game, and then they're having, like, you know, he's hanging out, having fun, living at the stadium. You're like, I don't want to see that right now. Like, they need to have a guy in there who, if it's a blowout, pull all the Baker commercials.
Yeah, work on your line or work on the plays, not your line.
Just for his own sake. I mean, I get it. You know, you can be in the NFL and, you know, spend 4 hours at the stadium.
I don't think Cleveland's entire problem is Baker Mayfield. They were kind of having a lot of problems before he got there. And I think one of the worst things that can happen to you if you're a high draft pick as a quarterback is to go to the Cleveland Browns over the last almost 30 years. So cut the guy a little bit of slack. There's something about a white guy who wears a bandana. White dudes, I don't know what it is. What does he think? He's in a gang? You just started all the way back to Andre Agassi. People just start trashing him.
Yeah, it's not. It's, you know, people. Yeah, you think he's like an extra in Sons of Anarchy with the hair going and the bandana.
It's that Cobra Kai look, you know.
Another kind of classic matchup: the Monday night game, the Las Vegas Raiders at home catching 5.5 against the Saints. Where are you at with John Gruden, Bill? Are you a big Gruden guy? Did you find him?
I love John Gruden. I also, that new stadium they have looks incredible. Man.
Yeah.
They finally, God knows, you know, you wait 50 years to get a place to play, 60 years. They've never really had, I guess the Oakland A's stadium at some point was new, but those were cookie cutter baseball football ones. So I'm excited to see them in a nice venue. Unfortunately, I think the Saints are going to give them their first loss in that building. I don't know. 5 points doesn't scare me. I take Drew Brees.
Yeah, Drew Brees in the dome against John Gruden. There was that.
The Raiders just won a game. They're riding high. This is the perfect time to bet against
them. And it is. I mean, we drove by it in person recently, and it's just awesome to see it sitting there right out in the strip.
It's like a hockey puck almost.
It's yeah.
Just this black, it's very sleek stadium.
The Death Star, they're calling it. Very futuristic. It is going to be crazy when they do let fans go in there, because I can just imagine. Just marauding bands of Raiders fans getting drunk all day on the strip and then just rolling into that stadium. It's going to be wild once they start letting fans in.
I think a couple of those Raider fans might get discovered on the strip the way they dress up. Yeah. You would look great as in Cirque du Soleil.
Well, you know, we saw the Michaels opening up next door so they can get their crafts and work on their plastic shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Their eyeshadow. The rubber
spikes sticking out. I don't know what happened. I liked back in the 70s, the Raiders fans looked like a giant biker gang.
Yeah. And
somewhere along the line, I don't know what they kind of, they got to get out of the.
It's a little too much Kiss.
It just looks like they were hanging out on Etsy for an afternoon and got like, oh, spiked styrofoam shoulder pads. That'll complete my outfit. It's like, come on. What happened
to just Hot Topic and get some fake chains?
Yeah. Or they have like the guy with like the fighter pilot mask on with the giant, like, you know, murdered out visor. It's like, come on, dude. But the black hole is fun. It'll be great to see those guys in there. Of course,
now that we've shit all over it.
I mean, it's fun in the, you know, cause it's just emblematic of the Raiders and kind of a fun tradition, but yeah.
Getting dressed up in costumes and going to football.
It's fun. I mean, come on. They can take a joke. See the Seahawks. They're at home. They had a nice win week one. Patriots coming into Seattle Sunday night.
I don't like this.
Seahawks laying 4 points. It's a tough spot for the Patriots early, but I said that last week and they took care of the Dolphins. Where is your head at with this game, Bill?
I don't think I know enough about Seattle, but I do think that Russell Wilson will, you know, basically cancels out Cam Newton, where that's a wash. And I don't know, like that's this. I think this is a big test early for us playing with an above average team. Cause I do know that Seattle did lose a lot of players. I mean, with the free agency, I can't keep up with it. So it's hard for me to gamble in September here, but my gut tells, I would stay away from this game because if I had to put money on it, I would bet Seattle.
Seattle and laying the points.
They appear to be letting Russ cook down there.
I like Bill with the emotional hedge betting against his team, just cause then you kind of have yourself covered. I mean, worst case scenario, Seattle wins by 3 and then you don't hit the spread and your team loses.
Every single time I've said I'm going to bet against my team, I fail to do so. So
do you find yourself, I don't see you as this guy, but being superstitious, having any sort of rituals when your team is on, do you kind of get your kids? I know you have a couple of young kids. Do you try and get them into watching the game? Where are you at with your team on game day?
Oh no, I gave up on superstitions. You know what finally made me give up on superstitions? I used to hear the longest time, don't put a hat on a bed. Hat on a bed is bad luck. And I actually, I don't know, somebody told me, or I sort of looked it up, like where that came from. Like back in the day when people used to knit their own hats, when they take the hat off at night, the static electricity, they would see the flashes. So they thought the devil lived in your hair. So then if you it was like in your hat or something like that. So if you put the hat on the bed, the devil was in your bed and then it was going to get into you. And I was like, that has got to be the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. And after that, I now move about freely in my living room. I know that I have no effect on the game whatsoever. It's been liberating for like the last 20 years. So I don't have any superstition. I will tell you, though, is I don't have the stomach to watch playoff hoop when my team is in it, because that whole thing where it's a game of runs is just infuriating to me, where my team can't miss, the other team can't hit, and all of a sudden we forget how to play and then they can't miss. That doesn't happen in other sports. It's not like if your offensive line is dominating the defensive line, I don't care what kind of halftime adjustments they make. You don't come out in the next half and all of a sudden your team forgets how to block.
Well, I mean, maybe the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl where they were up 28-3. They seem to forget something, but I know what you mean.
And that happens. Like, I swear to God, it happens like three times during an NBA game.
Yeah. No, I mean,
NBA, like, you'll be up by like 25 and then I'll just be 27-2 run. It's all tied up. And you're like, what the fuck happened?
Well, especially now when they just like every guy is shooting threes, even like a 7-foot guy from Latvia is still like chucking it up behind the arc. And yeah, it's so easy that they go hot and cold. The bubble, the shooting and the runs have been crazy because there's no home court advantage. So you got teams like the Nuggets and teams like the Miami Heat who maybe never would have made it if they were actually traveling and playing in hostile environments. But yeah, it really feels like the last 6 minutes of an NBA game.
Just wait till the game has 8 minutes left in it, and then you can watch it. Because if you watch it before that, you're just going to go on this strange roller coaster ride that means nothing. And that's essentially why I stopped betting on the NBA regularly. It's not good for your heart. It's just like, Jesus.
Oh yeah, and then also like the last 5 minutes takes like a half an hour.
Well, and then they've even added instant replay where they're like going frame by frame to see if it hit the guy's fingernail. It's like, oh my God, they got to do something to like speed up the end of the game. Cause that's what's fun about basketball. The intensity, the, you know, running up and down the court, the flow of the game.
We sound like some grumpy old men, Sean. We're get off our lawn. No,
but it is true though. But I will tell you, but then you got to sit there with your stomach in knots for a half an hour for something that should have taken like maybe 10 minutes.
No, I know it never goes away. That kind of knot you have when your team's playing.
It's a good sweat, you know, sometimes.
One final game worth hitting on.
I hate that I care about sports.
Well, I find myself.
It's a curse.
I mean, my wife will like have to talk me down after the Eagles loss. She goes, you can't do this to yourself. You can't, you know, be mad at yourself for something that you have no control over. And the logical part of my brain is going, I know what she's saying. I can't control it. The other, the reptile part of the brain is going, you fucked up, you dumb motherfucker. You wore the wrong hat. You knew what you were doing. You let the team down. I'd like, honestly, I after a bad loss, I go, what could I have done? And I'm not an idiot. I know I can't do anything, but it must be, you know, Irish Catholic. I don't know, but Irish German.
You know what I wish I could go back to the days before the internet when you lost, just you lost. You didn't have a direct connection to the fans of the team that just beat you. Like, did you see, You see Magic Johnson?
Oh man, he's great. He's hilarious.
No, he went on and he trashed the Clippers when they said LA is always going to be like the Laker city. And just as a Celtics fan, I was like, wait, they were kind of sweating the Clippers when they were up 3-1. They were like, oh shit. And then all these people came out. I don't know. I thought that was a bad look.
Yeah.
For the Lakers, where it's like, dude, you're the Lakers. You don't care about these guys. The fact is you actually have to make that LA will always be the Lakers city. It's just like, you're sitting on 16 championships. They have zero. Why would you take your time to answer them?
No, but I don't. Yeah, it is. You don't really need to stoop down to the Clippers level. It's your little
brother
thing.
You don't need to rub it into your little brother.
I do love the Clippers and I was rooting for them, but now I'm rooting for the Nuggets. Anybody but the Lakers.
Oh yeah. Nuggets are such a fun team. They do have kind of that like rec league team vibe that just got hot and you can't get them off the court. But Jokic, Jamal Murray shooting lights out.
The Lakers always seem to be able to buy the two best guys in the league. And then it drives me nuts.
I mean,
it seems as though the NBA would love to see a Lakers Celtics bubble final. So conspiracy.
Well, I wish we could somehow appeal to people to come to me and just be like, Boston's like LA. It's just as racist as LA. It's just the weather isn't as nice.
Yeah, we could. Boston can hang. Don't worry, guys. All right, Bill, one final game to hit on, a nice quarterback battle here. You got Lamar Jackson and the Ravens coming off a ass whooping of the Browns, going into Houston to face the Texans. Texans are a 7-point home dog. Of course, they got their ass kicked opening night against the Chiefs, so they have a little bit of long rest. What's your lean here on this game? Texans getting 7.
They always pick the perfect number, don't they? I mean, the Ravens are just, you know, they're going to beat them. It's like Deshaun Watson, JJ Watts. They got those two pieces, and I just don't feel like enough of the rest of the team works. The play calling, I don't know what it is. It just doesn't seem to come together for them. The Ravens are perennial, just a successful franchise, and then they have this next level guy at quarterback. Oh man, but given 7 on the road.
I know my brain wants to say, hey, you're a smart gambler, take the home dog. But then I look at that Ravens team and I didn't even think they would be as good as they started out week one. And they're just an unstoppable force.
I'm going Ravens. I don't know. I'm taking favorites this week. Fuck it.
Sometimes early in the season, you just got to pick winners. Don't worry about the spread. Pick winners.
Well,
the Ravens are winning this game. I'm with you. Houston, maybe they get in the back door, but Bill O'Brien once again looks like he's unaware of how to drive a National Football League franchise, and yet he still has the keys. I don't get it.
Yeah, no. Bill O'Brien was an interesting guy. Where like I was, you know, the trade he made getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins, and I mean, you just got to feel like an asshole when he goes off and has a career game the first game after the trade. So I tried and defend him, saying like, oh, I think he's a pretty solid coach. They always win the division. So he must be doing something right. But then that game against Kansas City, like he was just way too conservative. You're playing the Chiefs. You can't be punting at midfield on like 4th and 3. So I don't know. It could be a long season for Bill O'Brien and the Texans.
You don't think midfield against Patrick Mahomes, 4th and 3, you'd go for it?
No. I'm saying he should have. Yeah.
Oh, your house would be up for sale pretty quick. Well, that's an NFL coach. Well, that's dude, this is. I'm telling you, you guys grew up playing Madden football. I mean, your idea of just 4th and 3, no biggie.
Well, we are a gambling podcast, and our catchphrase is "Let it ride." So you're right. Maybe I wouldn't. I'd either flame out or become like a coaching genius, going for crazy 4th down, never punting. As a fan, you just want to see crazy shit like that.
Yeah, you could be down 42-0 going into the second quarter against the Chiefs doing that. But I would love to see a guy do that, have the balls to do it.
Oh yeah. I mean, and not to get
there was
back
a guy in high school one year that never punted or kicked an extra point. He went for it on 4th down every time, and he went for 2 every time.
Well, and that's what I get.
A bunch of coaches paying attention to that too. Yeah. I also don't think he had the best kickers.
could have been a problem.
The undefeated Patriots, when we lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. Do you remember that 4th down Belichick went? He went, it was like a 4th and 6.
Yeah.
On the first drive, we just like went for it and didn't get it. And I remember that was like one of the few times I ever questioned Belichick. I was like, what the hell was that?
Yeah. No, I mean,
video game shit.
And just immediately, even if the math supports it, you know, it's like in blackjack when you got 16 and you're against a face card, you know, the number says like the card that you get at the gift shop says you're statistically better off hitting. And then when you do it and you bust, you're like, oh, what the fuck? But really it's like 55-45. So you should do it. The math says do, but I mean, then you got to live with the results.
Shoot or shoot, Sean. Shoot or shoot.
Shoot or shoot. All right, Bill. So to run it down, looks like you're taking the Bucks -9. The Bengals +6, but you think they got?
They're given 9.
Yeah, it's a big number for Carolina.
Whoa! And that's in Carolina?
No, that's in Tampa.
All right, you know they got the pirate ship. There'll be at least 1.5 pirates on it. Yeah, the hell with it.
There could be some actual pirates. I mean, who knows what's going on in Tampa right now? Tampa -9, Bengals +6, but you also think they have a shot to win it outright. Mm. Ravens -7 in Houston, New Orleans -5.5 in Las Vegas, and then fading the New England Patriots, not believing in them. Seattle -4 for the Sunday night game.
Out of all of those, I think the Cincy pick is the most solid. Watch me eat my words.
All right, lock that up. We'll Bengals +6. All right, Bill, appreciate you calling in and have a good NFL weekend.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Oh yeah, DraftKings. Talking a little DK, DraftKings, of course, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Once again, millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. And even just as a DraftKings player, when I realized I wasn't going to win the $1 million, it's fun at the end of that afternoon, just hitting refresh and seeing a couple guys battle it out for first place. Saw that, you know,
it's like esports.
Well, yeah. And I think one of the guys in second place, he had the Chargers defense that missed field goal by the Bengals, helped keep him in second, win a couple hundred grand. I mean, it's just a fun to watch, but more fun to play, of course, because again, DraftKings, they've paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012. Very easy to use, very easy to deposit, very easy to withdraw when you hit big, especially. Download the DraftKings app now and use code SGP for a limited time. New users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week two action. Enter code SGP to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code SGP only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Thursday night football, Kramer.
Ooh, well, do we want to at least throw out a recap of our records to remind people that you hit your lock? I didn't not get my lock.
I did.
A push week one push on the lock. How disappointing.
You're 0-0, Ryan, on college football and NFL locks. Haven't even gotten an attempt.
Oh no, I got one wrong. I got a college lock wrong, but okay. I also picked a game that got canceled. So that's I'm impressively starting the season with pushes left and right. Thursday night football, the Battle of Ohio, the Bengals, Smokey Joe, AJ Green looks like he's back, Sean. They're heading down to Cleveland, where Baker Mayfield, I don't know. We might be nearing the end. They would be a close your eyes special, Sean, but they're favored.
6-point favorites.
6 points, minus 255 on the money line. Bengals plus 215. 43.5 is the total. This look ahead was 7.5, Sean. And now it's moved down to 6 based on, do you think this is mostly Cleveland getting their ass kicked? Because that was something we thought was going to happen. Yeah. Or do you think this is, hey, Joe Burrow looks like a competent quarterback?
Yeah, I would say it's probably a little bit more off of, I think people feel comfortable betting on Joe Burrow after what they saw him do against that Chargers defense. He didn't look amazing, but he looked competent. And he looked like he certainly had a lot of poise, a lot of moxie. You can imagine him just chomping on a cigar. Certainly their kicker fucked things up for them. And these are just two kind of dreadful franchises. I thought the Bengals defense played pretty solid against the Chargers, but you look at the numbers. Josh Kelly had a nice day. Eckler 19 for 84, Kelly 12 for 60. DJ Reader, the nose tackle for the Bengals, the run stuffer. He had some cramps. Hopefully he can go because they're
what are we talking about? My fucking high
give him a little,
chicks?
Give him a little Midol. Get him out there because the Browns are going to come in and pound the rock. I don't know. The Bengals missing an lineman, kicker, a little bit of questionable, but the Browns, Greedy Williams still out. Conklin is questionable. I kept going back and forth here. I think Joe Mixon could have a big day against this Browns defense. To me, I'm just in a point where fuck the Browns. What really helped me solidify that was Browns running back Nick Chubb. We know we can run the ball. We've just got to get better at other things. Like this locker room.
What do you think he's talking about?
Is already just in shambles, right? Odell throwing his hands up. Like, I mean, any Odell, sort of
showing some issues catching the football. Imagine that from a guy who essentially became famous off of a catch.
Yeah, really. Maybe a football isn't the Brown thing. He likes to catch.
Oh, Sean.
This Browns team, I'm just out on, and there was enough mojo from that Bengals team. I'm gonna take Bengals plus 6.
Let's just for 1 second think about what we're doing though. This is Thursday night football. We know
normally I would probably lean to the home team, but the fact that there's no fans, I think that's going to take away the home field advantage in a big way.
Forget the home field advantage, Sean. Kay. It's the time. It's a rookie quarterback. I'm not one to suggest that Baker is ever going to be a good NFL quarterback. But in this spot, this is an absolute before we started a recording, I told you I thought there were some very obvious spots that maybe my age and my wisdom is allowing myself to see, almost like I'm putting on the special glasses and I can see the dimension. Because when I see this spot, Burrow looked good, and people are going, "Oh, he looked good." This team's got some weapons. AJ Green's back, but I think what we're going to see here is I think we're going to see the offensive line again struggle. He's now going to the road, so whatever you think about home road, I think on a Thursday night it's going to matter. I think the lack of preparation is going to matter, and I think first and foremost, if you are streaming defenses, Cleveland defense is very appealing to me this week. If I'm doing a showdown lineup, Cleveland's defense is very appealing to me this week because I think they're going to give him trouble. And I think, again, rookie, he's a rookie quarterback. And sure, he did enough to win the game against a pretty bad looking Chargers team. They still had a pass rush. So I think the pass rush gets home, Sean. And I think the additional 1.5 points of line movement based on them losing to a great team is enough for me to grab the Browns laying the 6 points.
Browns are broken, Ryan.
And I don't know if
and Cincinnati, AJ Green.
You're just overreacting, I think.
No, I'm not overreacting at all.
I'm trying to caution you as a friend. Be careful with this one.
I am careful. AJ Green is rallying around for his quarterback. Like, guys in that locker room want to play for Joe Burrow. No one wants to play for Baker. That's become clear.
Let's see if the Bengals can do enough to slow down this rushing attack to where it matters. I think you got to throw out the week one result for the Browns because it was a blowout and they lost to a really fucking good team. Next up, Sean.
But Sunday. They still suck.
I'm not. You're putting me in a position where I'm somehow trying
go
to
go all in on them.
I'm not all in. I said this is a spot. I circle this on the schedule. Yeah. The adrenaline from his first start at home is over. Now he's on the road. Short rest. Burrow struggles Sunday. Speaking of things struggling, the Dallas Cowboys, they host the Hotlanta Falcons. Falcons plus 4.5, plus 180 on the money line. Dallas minus 220, 52.5 is the total. This is another one. It came down big on the look ahead. I don't really understand why the look ahead changed other than Atlanta got really beaten up, but they put up a lot of yards. Obviously, we're not taking the Cowboys here. Is there value in the Cowboys side because of that?
Well, this is an interesting stat. Russell Wilson didn't throw into a tight window once against the Atlanta defense. Only quarterback.
Well, he's Mr. Unlimited, though.
Well, yeah. I mean,
unlimited.
You think Dak is thinking unlimited?
But that is certainly.
It's a little scary.
It's a little scary. But the Dallas offense. I mean, we joked about on the recap podcast, but truly, yeah. They picked up where they left off. It's hilarious because all the talking points in the offseason were, well, now that they got rid of Jason Garrett, their offense is going to be dynamic. It's going to be aggressive. They're going to be going for it on fourth downs. Be careful what you wish for. It's so funny because those same people would also say, well, and we're bringing Kellen Moore. He's calling this plays. That's a lot of continuity. And we saw that continuity in a bad way. Yeah. They were continuously shitty like they were last year when they were 8-8.
Why is Kellen Moore some boy genius? What did he do?
I mean, I honestly
won some games at Boise State.
I honestly think they would be better off letting McCarthy call plays. And I'm not a huge McCarthy guy. Matt Ryan.
At least you're going to do it the McCarthy way. I don't know what Dallas's plan was on Sunday.
No, they didn't have a plan. Matt Ryan, he thrives in the dome.
All right, this isn't over though, right? I know it's so obvious, but isn't this just a massive over?
Feels like you could lean over and the Rams
DFS game.
They're out. Sorry, the Rams probably should have done more, you know, scoring wise. But Dallas, no Sean Lee and no Van Der Esch. I mean, their defense had so many questions to begin with, not being aggressive enough. Ridley, I think, will have a big game in the middle there. I think they will do everything they can to slow down Julio. Ridley, I think, is the guy to play. Falcons are 29-18 against the spread following a loss of 6 points or more in the previous 47 instances. Whatever the hell that means.
Trendmeister.
I think it means they got their ass kicked at home. I think they will. Maybe they rally around Dan Quinn a little bit. We've seen them rally around Dan Quinn before. I think 4.5 points is too much for the Cowboys to cover. Give me Atlanta plus 4.5.
I think my instincts say Cowboys here for the obvious reasons, right?
You're a Cowboys fan. You were playing Zeke in DFS.
But
that is a disgusting act.
I think when you look at the defense for the Cowboys, it's going to be about this game is going to be a shootout. And do you really want to bet on Dakota Rain Prescott and this offense to keep up with Matty Ice? I don't know. I think Falcons get the outright win here. And I think we're talking about if I'm McCarthy, I might have to fire Kellen Moore in a couple weeks. If this they lose an offensive shootout, that's not going to look good for the offensive coach.
No.
And maybe they want to break that continuity, as you say. So I'll join you on the dog here, Sean. I am worried. I don't know why the line got smaller. I would have preferred to be catching 6 points here. Feels like it should be closer to six.
Not worried about it,
but over. I'm not a totals guy. Over though, I don't know how this game doesn't go over. Buffalo heads to Miami, where the Dolphins. Sean, this is another one. The look at was Buffalo -3.5 on the road. It's now Buffalo -6, -255 on the money line. 41 is the total. Miami +215 coming back. Are you playing your weather angle, Sean?
You know, I was definitely leaning that way because they're at home. It's Florida team in September, which usually is what I do. John Brown not practicing today. A lot of red flags here, but Devontae Parker, he's injured. That really hurts the Dolphins offense. And the Dolphins, you could have made a case they should have covered, kind of got jobbed on a no PI call there in the end zone. To me though, what really why I ended up taking the Bills as a road favorite, and I'm gun shy about it. I'm going against my trend of taking Florida teams in September at home.
Why are you walking away from this? You know that's a good trend.
Cam Newton, the rushing quarterback. Miami really struggled to stop the rushing quarterback. Josh Allen is a rushing quarterback, and I think his rushing is what is going to help them win. And the Bills defense, I think, is legitimately really pretty good. And Miami is
great in that first game at home.
Miami is just so limited offensively. Like, you know, Gesicki, I think he will have a decent number of targets, but now Devontae Parker's out. Like, they're out their first three receivers. I just don't think they have the skill players to put up points against this Buffalo team.
You know, I don't think we watched a ton of that Patriots Dolphins game, but from a spot, like, again, this is another one of those spots. Like, Buffalo looked great at home. In a great spot against the Jets, but then when you look at the scoreboard, you're like, "Well, wait a second. They crushed the Jets, didn't they?"
Yeah,
didn't really show up on the scoreboard. And now, and meanwhile, the Dolphins, as you said, they struggle with Cam a little bit on the road. Okay, now things flip. You're laying a lot of points with Josh Allen. We watched Josh Allen make a lot of high variance plays. I'm a little surprised, Sean, because I thought this was an angle you were going to lean into. So far, the sports gambling podcast, home field, non crowd related factors, 2-0, 2-0.
It's true.
And not just 2-0 straight up, or I'm sorry, 2-0 against the spread. So I don't know why you're walking away from it so fast. Way too much movement on the line. I hear your angle with Josh Allen. That does worry me. It does worry me.
Well, Josh Allen fumbled twice in that Jets game, and they were still able to cover the number. I think if he can just not fumble or just fumble once, I just, wow. there is a mojo. There's a swagger about this Bills team early. Now, can they hold on to it? Can they handle it as they get the hype? Sometimes, you know, teams unravel, but there's something going on in Buffalo, and I think they're going to bring it down to Miami.
Yeah. And we saw a Colts team that I think we're going to maybe see play pretty well this week. Look pretty fucking tired in that Florida heat last. You're crazy to walk away from it. This was your baby, Sean. And now you're stepping away from the cash. Carolina heads to Tampa, where Tom Brady and the Buccaneers -9, -425 on the money line. Carolina +325, 47.5 is the total. This actually came up a point from the look ahead of 8, which is a little surprising to me. I thought Carolina played well in a plus spot for them. A little disappointing they didn't get the cover. Meanwhile, Tampa, you know, it was just fitting. Tom Brady throwing a pick six, Jameis Winston literally in the building. Godwin out. That worries me. Mike Evans didn't look all the way. Scotty Miller.
Well, yeah. And I have Godwin. If you listen to DFS podcast, I did have Godwin in there. So apparently he's in the concussion protocol. That's not good. What is good is Carolina's offense. Like, they were able to put up points against the Raiders. Now they got to go down and do it in Tampa.
Tampa's defense has played well. They played well to contain McCaffrey. I do worry that defense will be able to contain what this offense can do. Robbie Anderson, obviously, and Samuel could be the things that unlock it. But from a spot perspective, I don't see. I'm like, just step away from the situation. How do you lay 9 points with that Bucs team?
Yeah, with the Bucs defense, especially. I think Brady does have a bounce back game, and they get the win. But I'm taking Carolina in the points.
Are we being stupid here? Are we being cute with just like,
I mean, again, Carolina, they're used to the Southern heat and humidity. I don't think it'll have a huge factor. Brady is good against the spread coming off a loss, but he's only 7-11 against the spread as a -7 favorite or more coming off a loss. Now, if it's less than that, he's 42-21, but I think the touchdown and more, and I think Brady is realizing like, oh my God, playing for the Bucks, I'm not going to be in great situations all the time. My coach isn't going to make the perfect decision every single time. Like, I think it's a little bit of a wake up call. I think he responds. So I think they put up numbers, they get the W, but Carolina is a scrappy little team that will be in this game. There definitely wasn't any sense of like, this Carolina team's completely dog shit.
Well, let's give Teddy Bridgewater some credit for just being a winner. When have we seen Teddy Bridgewater play for a football team and lose consistently? Just doesn't do it. Even when he came in and spelled Drew Brees last year,
yeah,
he got it done. He's a winner. And you know, going back to that injury in Minnesota, his teammates were devastated. Why? Because they wanted to play for the guy because he's a fucking winner. I don't love Carolina. I don't love Matt Rhule. I don't love the overall situation, but the spread should not be.
You should start loving Matt Rhule, Ryan.
Should not be 9 points. And
who did Tampa struggle with the most on that Saints offense? Alvin Kamara. And who do the Carolina Panthers have? Christian McCaffrey. So yeah, in previous years, I think they've done well with Christian McCaffrey, but the way this Bucs defense is set up now, I think they're going to struggle with McCaffrey. And we've seen the speed. You know, Robbie Anderson, I got him going in some best ball leagues. Like, the dude is fast. Like, yeah, they have a ton of speed on offense, and I think it's going to be trouble for the Bucs. Like, I think Carolina will break a couple plays.
Blowout loading here.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm on Carolina with you because it just shouldn't be. The spread is just too big. But you know, if Tampa wins by 3 touchdowns because Brady comes out in some sort of FU mode,
certainly possible. We actually have a clip here, yeah. Ryan.
Thank you for reminding me.
This is a clip from the German broadcast of,
by the way, shout out to us having a German broadcast.
Yes.
We have German listeners too. Big podcast.
Yeah. Shout out to a lot of Europeans find our podcast. So shout out to most of the European countries. Couple, I don't know about you guys, but most of them good eggs over there.
All right. So this is Brady to Howard. Let's listen to the clip.
And you can hear Brady curse. Just listen. Yeah. It's great.
TB12 at its finest.
Goal an der 9-Yard-Line der New Orleans Saints. Tampa am Drücker, angetäuschte Ballübergabe. Brady geht in die Endzone, hat da weit offen. OJ Howard, sein Tight End. Touchdown, Tampa. Was hat Tom Brady da gerade gesagt?
Das darf man doch gar nicht sagen im Fernsehen.
Irgendwas mit Mutterbeischläfern hat
wow.
er.
Wow.
What? And that one guy just going, oh, what is that sound?
It sounds like a German scat film or something. Yeah. Something Odell might be into.
Yeah, too. So they were probably disappointed this they weren't covering the Browns game.
This is why Odell and Tom Brady are such tight friends.
All right, where are we at? That's where I'm at. I think you were shitting on my McCaffrey angle, but I think it's real, Ryan.
I just worry because I have the memory of watching McCaffrey get relatively bottled up by Tampa twice and no one else really did that. So moving along, the Denver Broncos coming off that heartbreaking loss on Monday Night Football.
They covered though. Gave it out at 2.5.
They covered the spread. They're heading to Pittsburgh, who's also coming off a Monday night battle with the New York Football Giants. The Steelers are -7.5.
A battle implies a closeness to the outcome, Ryan.
-340 on the -7.5 is the spread. -340 on the money line. Denver +280. 41.5 is the total. This is another spot for me. And I'm surprised. I think I'm surprised by your take on this because Pittsburgh, the defense looked really good. Denver, we liked them at home early. We watched Vic Fangio shit all over himself again, very similar to that 16-14 loss week 2 last season in their home opener. I don't love that this line has squeaked up past seven, but I'm okay laying it.
You're crazy. I think what you're,
because Big Ben plays well at home. The offense was warming up, and I think this passing attack is going to look really nice. And oh, by the way, that defensive line is just going to destroy Drew Lock. I think
Ryan, I think what's happening is you're still grading the Giants as a good team. So you saw what the Steelers did against them, and you're like, oh wow, Steelers must be really good. They were able to intercept Daniel Jones. The thing about the Broncos, and I was like, maybe I'm just too high on the Broncos. I'm in love with this Broncos team. I should try and figure out if I'm missing anything. And then I saw this quote that locked me into what the angle would be.
Pun intended.
Roethlisberger on his soreness. Quote, I was saying today, I feel like I was just in a car accident. Yesterday, I felt like it was in a train wreck. Hopefully tomorrow, it'll feel like I just fell off a bike. I'm definitely sore. The good news is my arm is the only thing that doesn't hurt. First off, lot to unpack here. I mean, train wreck could be as deadly as a car wreck.
Don't overreact to stuff here in the read the media, Sean.
No, but he was sore, right? He got banged up. Why? Because he was getting some contact. You saw him limping around here.
Old guy, first game back. Don't overthink it, Sean.
No, I'm not overthinking it. And I mean, in the same way that the Eagles and Wentz got destroyed, sacked eight times. Why? Well, A, he holds on to the ball too long. Roethlisberger's can be guilty of that as well. And B, they were dealing with a tremendous amount of offensive line injury. Steelers right tackle Banner is now out for the season. Wisniewski, the right guard, unlikely to play. And their center, David DeCastro, has been out for 3 weeks, may come back, may not. This defensive line, or this offensive line, is decimated. And the defensive line for the Broncos is solid. I think they're going to come in and have a good game and keep this close, if not being a live dog against this Steelers team.
Wow, you're overthinking it, I think. I really.
What do you mean I'm overthinking it? There, no one on their line's healthy.
Another bad spot. Cross country trip, short week.
It's not a cross country.
Half country trip,
short week. So are the Steelers
in a spot season. This is a bad spot for you. You're walking away again. Give me Pittsburgh laying the points.
Okay, Ryan.
At least we're disagreeing this week.
Oh yeah. You know what we're not disagreeing on? BetQL, baby. Best betting app out there. Stats, trends, whatever you need to bet smarter, not harder. BetQL has it. And if you want the premium tools, BetQL.co, promo code SGP20 for 20% off. Just head over to the App Store, Google Play Store. BetQL.co has you covered. SGP20. Kramer, I'm just pulling this up. 3-star pick for BetQL on the Denver Broncos. Broncos, according to BetQL, should only be getting 6 points, 1.5 point difference. Me and BetQL, baby, where the smart money is at. And you're again, just bet smarter, not harder. Ryan, you need to go over to BetQL.co, enter that promo code SGP20, get 20% off. Get your money right, get your mind right with BetQL.
On it. Sean.
Yes.
Detroit, the Detroit Lions coming off that choke job. They're heading to Green Bay. Green Bay laying 6.
Your NFC champs.
-265 on the money line. Lions +225. 49.5 is the total. Tell me why my Lions aren't going to get it done. Better DVOA for the record. Better DVOA than the Packers in week one.
Again, this one is pretty easy. I'm feeling great about the Green Bay Packers. Detroit Lions, they brought in 4 different defensive backs for workouts. Why? Because their defensive backfield is decimated. I mean, they made Trubisky throw 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Why? Because they have no starting.
It's very strange.
No starting caliber cornerbacks on that team right now that are healthy. And they gave a Big V, the right tackle, all that money. He's not playing. I mean, maybe Akuda makes it out there, who struggled, didn't earn a starting job in camp. The number 3 pick overall or whatever. If he does play, I think Rodgers is going to pick him apart. You saw what they did to the Minnesota defensive backs. Very similar situation here, except they're at home. That was on the road in Minnesota. Now you're playing a similar backfield. I think Green Bay will just be able to shred the Lions. I just don't see how the Lions stay in this game.
Yeah, this is a weird one. I mean, the more I think about this Green Bay Minnesota game, the more, because Minnesota put up a bunch of points too.
But that was a lot of garbage points.
There were some garbage in there. Green Bay looked good, and it's hard to not want to just lay the chalk here.
Yeah.
But I mean, everyone's going to be on Green Bay this week. Isn't this one of those like absolute super duper public spots here?
Yeah. Everyone was on the Bills last week.
Why is it not seven then? Why is it not seven? Because the Bills was at 6.5, I guess. But why is this not seven? That's when I sit here and I look at this game, I try to figure out why are they not forcing me to lay a touchdown here? What, everyone's going to be taking the Packers at this price. Am I wrong? So I'm going to go the other way, Sean. I'm going to predict that there's something funky that goes on in this game. We've seen a lot of close matchups between these teams. A lot of weird endings. I think Green Bay at the end wins this game, but I worry that there's a trap being set for everyone, and I want to make sure my clients aren't getting trapped here.
Spread is dead, bro. I don't know if you know.
The spread might be dead. Give me the Lions plus six, Sean. I love it. Disagreeing all across the
board. Aaron Rodgers, of course, 15-5 against the Lions in his career. 41 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions only.
Yeah, this should be 7, right? I'm going to stick to my gun. Something weird about this. Something fishy. Something fishy.
Any matchups or reasons you actually like them to win the game? Like, what do they do that Green Bay won't be able to stop?
I mean, I think we don't know much about Green Bay's defense, and I think we talked about this all sim season.
Well, I know something about the Lions' offense. It's not that good.
I mean, they scored. Do you think the Bears are any good at defense? It's a small sample size, and in this case,
I think that Darren Bevel, like Matt Stafford, should have been the MVP if he just didn't get hurt. I think that's your small sample size.
I mean, they win the game if his rookie running back catches the ball. I think you're being slightly unfair to this Lions team. I don't think they looked
great on offense.
I think they looked all right considering they were missing their number one receiver. Who, you know, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
You're making my points for me
again. I think this could be a game with a lot of points, and I don't think Green Bay has the defense to make me feel confident. And I'm sticking with my Lions opinion, Sean.
They
should have won if not for that fucking running back. Jacksonville heads to Tennessee, coming off that Monday night spot. Tennessee laying only 8.5. Two and a half points down from the look ahead of 11, coming off the heels of that Minshew performance, -420 for the Titans. Jags +320, 42.5 is the total. I mean, this is another spot, Sean. This is another spot where my early indications are Jacksonville did great. They won that game. They won that game in a plus spot. Now Tennessee coming home after a bad spot. Are we overthinking this? Should we just be looking to the favorite because the Jags can't do this again, right? They can't squeeze out that many points against a good defense in a situation where Minshew only had to throw the ball 20 times.
QBs with the highest percentage of on target throws after week one, Gardner Minshew, number one, 95%, Russell Wilson, then Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, Kirk Cousins. Here's a fun little trend that actually makes sense, and I think it applies here. Teams that won as straight up dogs of 6 or more in week one are 8-2-2 against the spread in week two.
Because the market's not catching up.
Yeah. The market hasn't adjusted enough on this Jacksonville team. Gardner Minshew, when asked about their offensive performance, quote, "That's just a fucking glimpse." Are you kidding me? Like they're I mean, they held the Colts to 88 rushing yards. Now, granted, that's at home, and Tennessee is a much better rushing team. But this is a divisional game where you're getting more than a touchdown, and you got the Jags momentum.
Why is the number not moving? I'm seeing 80% of the money on the on the Jags. Why is it not coming down? Why are we not seeing 7.5?
And also, I'm not taking this Tennessee team to cover a big number until they figure out whether or not they have a kicker. Because I mean, Gostkowski left like 10 points on the board. Yeah, I mean, that really could come into play.
Feels like we're watching the Colts team from last year.
No, I know. And that's why, and I bet on the Colts way too many times in situations where,
but isn't that why you take the Titans? They left points on the table. Like,
right. But they didn't fix anything, right? Like they still have that shitty kicker. Now Gostkowski made that one at the end to win the game.
Was pretty good. I mean, he's a pretty good historic kicker, but they all come to the end of their life. Yeah. I hear you.
When kickers die, they die.
But if I'm just, again, trying to take a step back, and while I enjoy the Gardner Minshew experience, the keep legend down of Gardner,
keep down
I'm not him, doubting him at all. This is just another game. Before the games were played last week, we were discussing this as a spot where we're going to like, I'm going to like Tennessee because I thought they're going to be coming off a loss in a bad spot into a good spot, getting Jacksonville off a good spot into not a less good spot.
I always like fading a team that won a game that they shouldn't have.
They won a game they shouldn't have. But they also should have won the game by a lot of points. And as much as I love to shit on the Titans, as much they are in a short week, as much as I love to shit on the Titans, this is one of the teams that seems to be benefiting from the fact that there is, wasn't much of an off season because not much changed. And I'm sticking to my spot analysis, Sean. I'm
picks are horrible this year.
My picks are horrible. I can't wait for this weekend, Sean. I can't wait. Los Angeles, the Rams, they head to Philadelphia where, Jesus Christ, Sean, the Eagles are a pick 'em at home, -110 both ways. 45.5 is the total. The look ahead here was Philly -3.5. Why did it move 3.5 points?
Because they lost to Washington.
See, now you're going to get really into why this is a beautiful spot for Philly. Because I agree with you. I agree. This is a great spot.
No, it's a horrible spot.
Great spot for Philly. We're catching the Rams off a plus spot. They're now crossing the country, dealing with a team that looked like shit week one. This is the perfect spot to bet the Eagles. Just like it's the perfect spot
for
the other teams.
I would say the difference is the Eagles are actually getting some of their offensive linemen back. I mean, you look at the splits on Lane Johnson of, you know, when he plays with when he plays and when he doesn't. They're 56-36 with him playing, 9-12 without.
It's Lane important Johnson to have your starting linemen. Yeah, I agree.
Right. So in those other cases, I was like with the Steelers, they had a shitload of offensive line injuries that got worse. The Eagles actually have Lane Johnson coming back. Jack Driscoll looked decent at right tackle. They can move him into right guard because Herbig was a disaster. So I think Herbig or Driscoll starts at right guard. Lane starts at right tackle. I mean, Miles Sanders is running around full participant in practice. Yeah. I'll be really surprised if he doesn't play. And Doug Peterson historically owns the Ram 3-0 against Sean McVay.
I forgot about that angle. You he love does. That angle.
I mean, well, every sort of coaching ranking always has Sean McVay above Doug Peterson. Yet Doug Peterson hasn't lost to him, and he beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Neither of the things Sean McVay has been able to do. And the Eagles got completely embarrassed, and now they're back at home. So yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles
on non-play action dropbacks. A 33.3 PFF passing grade, lowest of any Week One quarterback.
Oh, he looked like shit.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that in there. No, I'm for the same reasons that I've told you, some of these other spots are very appealing to me. Philly is the one thing that concerns me is Aaron Donald looks ready to play football this year.
No, I mean, that's why it's a bad spot is because their D-line could destroy them. The fact that Lane Johnson is coming back.
Sorry. When I say a bad spot, I mean a situational spot. The situation is good for the Phillies for the Eagles team because of the situation. The offensive line. I think we're going to get, you know, Lane Johnson is going to play, right? Isn't that the word
yes,
on the street?
He's playing.
Miles Sanders.
Again,
are they pretending again? Are they fucking full, doing full Dungeons and Dragons? Like, hey, it's just we're just resting him. Fucking assholes. Minnesota heads to Indy. We're still in the 10 o'clock kicks, Sean. We got lots of early games this week. They head to Indy where Indy, they were a 2.5 point favorite on the look ahead. Indy is now a full 3 point favorite, -160 on the money line. Minnesota, the Vikings +140, 48.5 is the total. Yeah, this is another one. I mean, I know the Vikings lost the first game, but back Indy is, I'm betting on Indy this week. I can't tell you how fast I bet on Indy this week.
Yeah. This is a great bounce back spot for Indianapolis.
And the Colts and the Vikings just need more time.
Yeah. I mean, look at that defensive backfield. It's a bunch of rookies. And yeah, maybe Rivers is kind of past his prime, certainly, and on the downhill. But if you actually look at the game tape, like he looked pretty good with the exception of those two really bad interceptions. And if he does that again at home, they're going to be fucked. But really, I mean, they got stuffed at the goal line a couple of times. Indy's defense actually didn't play horribly. They only let up 241 yards, 91 rushing, 150 passing. Like, I think if the Vikings aren't able to get the running game going, which I think they could struggle to do, Indy should be able to cruise.
Well, we discussed it, right? They got all the juice. The Jags got all the juice out of that game. They maximized their points. And to your point, they didn't give up a ton of yards. They played all right. We'll see. I think they have a new quarterback, and I think we've seen teams with new quarterbacks just struggle a little bit.
Yeah, it takes a little bit to figure it out.
So I wouldn't be surprising to see a big jump from game one to game two. I think that the thing hidden in plain sight with this Vikings team is that, say what you will about Cousins, this team is not going to win games this year because of the defense, not because of the offense.
Well, and we hit on that when we were previewing the NFC North, that they churned over a bunch of guys. Zimmer's a good coach. Maybe he can get him going, and maybe he can, but it could take some time. Like, maybe Minnesota turns into this, like, secretly like a strong second half team where they're covering a bunch of numbers. Well, but I think early it's going to be tough.
And with the seventh playoff spot, maybe they're a team coming down the stretch that no one wants to see get in the play.
Yeah. And Zimmer is a good coach. He's got a great against the spread record. You're betting on him to go 0-2, which is tough, but Indy at home, Minnesota non-conference road game. And without Diggs, like, they got Adam Thielen and Dalvin Cook. But other than that, they don't have like a tremendous amount of weapons. Jefferson isn't really seeing the field much.
No, I think we even called it out. This is a team that's going to be better week nine than they are week two. So
since 2006, teams that lost straight up as favorites of six or more in week one are 7-4-1 against the spread in week two. So that's the Colts and the 49ers actually. But the Colts, it makes sense. Like, they laid an egg in Jacksonville, come back home. This feels like a great spot for them.
Not much more to add other than, I also think there's something about a team that is, you know, they were in a horrible spot in the long grass of Jacksonville in the heat. So stick it. Phillip Rivers gets his first win as a Colt. Next up, Giants coming off Monday Night Football. They head to Chicago where it's the battle of Danny Dimes and Mitchell. Mitchell's laying 5.5 here, Sean, -245 in the money line, +205 for the Giants. 42 is the total. Don't tell me you're going to take Mitchell.
Oh yeah. I mean, I took him in the DFS podcast for a reason. Mitchell Trubisky at home, graded second and positively graded pass plays PFF. Really, to me, again, this comes down to the Giants offensive line. And Giants are on a short week.
Yep.
Heading quote unquote across the country to Chicago.
To the middle. It's only a couple hours flight.
I mean, the Bears defense is $3,700 on DraftKings, and it's all $3,700 for a reason. Khalil Mack, who had been struggling with injuries, had kind of a down year last year. He quietly had an awesome game. 6 quarterback pressures, no sacks. He's due for a sack against the Giants.
No. This isn't the team that's going to give
Roquan Smith. I mean, the same way that I said TJ Watt would be a disruptive nightmare, Khalil Mack is going to be a disruptive nightmare. And I thought Pittsburgh's offense looked a little clumsy at times, and we'll see. I think the Giants are going to have trouble stopping Anthony Miller. I think they're going to roll coverage to Allen Robinson. I think he's not going to throw it to Allen Robinson because he requested a trade. Give me the Bears all day here.
Yeah. I mean, we watched enough of that Chicago game to watch Mitch just look horrible.
Yeah.
And they pulled it out of their ass. Detroit,
which they could at home against the Giants.
They could. I just think the Giants they're coming off a game where they played maybe one of the best defenses we'll see in the last 10 years of football.
Wow. And that's insane.
And the Steelers defense, when all said and done this year, we could be talking about one of the elite squads in the history of the National Football League. And could we be talking about a 38-year-old Ben Roethlisberger in the Super Bowl? One last hurrah. That Steelers team looks like a absolute contender. This Giants team, nothing to be ashamed of. They're not heading to the road, and I'm going to take the points because although I'm not going to scream it, Sean, all rise. We're still there. I want to see how this team responds to Mr. Joe Judge after the loss. You know, things to be excited about. We just gotta eliminate the mistakes. We have to eliminate the mistakes.
I'm surprised they were dying a little bit there in the fourth quarter. I thought their cardio would be a little better after all the laps.
Last early game, San Francisco. I don't want to talk about the Giants anymore. At last early game, San Francisco heads to New Jersey to take on the Jets. Jets are 7.5 point home dogs, plus 255.
I want no part of this game.
Niners minus 310, 42.5 is the total. I mean, I think you kind of nailed it earlier. This is a good spot for the Niners, probably.
Yeah,
but here's what's scary. The Jets can play run defense, and we kind of saw it against the Bills. The efficient part of the rushing attack was Josh Allen and quarterback running plays.
Yeah.
Not your traditional run plays. So if they can slow down San Francisco and they can create a situation where Jimmy G has to beat him with the arm, can he do it? Are you betting on Jimmy G to do something on the road here? Because it feels like we're being too cute if you take the Jets and the points. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth here.
They lost their game, but it is a non-conference road spot. There's a lot of tricky elements.
Non-conference road spot. Kittle, if he plays, he's certainly not 100%. Again, I was skeptical of the Niners getting rid of DeForest Buckner. That defensive line didn't look the same. And like you said, Jets are actually decent against the run, which is basically sets up the whole 49ers offense. Yeah. Richard Sherman, he's on short-term IR. I mean, Adam, Le'Veon Bell, he's on IR. I don't know if that'll
Frank
really matter.
Frank Gore sighting coming.
Last season, though, everyone, you know, is scared of taking the road favorites. Last season, road favorites of 7 points or more went 15-8 against the spread and 15-6 against the spread, excluding San Francisco. So San Francisco was actually one of those teams that wasn't bad. But like I hit on earlier with that trend of teams that were like 7 point or more favorites that lost outright usually bounce back week two. The scary thing is the injuries and the matchup and the non-conference aspect of it. That being said, I guess I'll take the 49ers, but man, I just don't, I want no part
of
this.
Aren't the Jets like a gross dog this week?
Yeah. They're probably the ugliest dog on the board. I mean, maybe you could make the case for Jacksonville, although I think maybe we're just so into Minshew mania, we don't see how much the public in general hates them, but Jets probably the grossest dog out there.
I'm taking the Jets, and for that reason, I think the fact that they can slow down a rushing attack is going to be a problem, because this is what's going to happen. It's going to be maybe 12:30 Pacific time, and we're going to be watching Jimmy G try to lead the Niners on a drive to lock up the spread with 6 minutes to go, and we're gonna be like, "Fuck, why did we bet on Jimmy G?" Give me the Jets. Let's Adam Gase. He's going to do some decaf nose beers. Get it done, boy. I hate that pick.
Yeah, I want no part of that game.
Jets Giants money line parlay. Here we come.
If you want to bet, listen, you heard Ryan. There's people out there who want to bet on the Jets.
Yep.
And why not be on the other side of that? Why not operate your own sports book and take wagers on the Jets?
Yeah.
Start your own small business today and go to aceparade.com/SGP. aceparade.com/SGP. Use that link and you can get up to 6 weeks free of their amazing sports book software. Ace per head. They get it done, man. Ace is the place if you want to go and start your own online sports book. It's very easy to get it going. I know guys have used it, rave about it. Very easy setup, very efficient software. Lines up to date, created immediately. They do all the heavy lifting, the calculating, the odds. All you got to do, collect that sweet, sweet cash. Go to aceforhead.com/SGP. Late slate.
Early afternoon, 1:05 on the West Coast. Washington, the football team, they head to Arizona to take on Kyler. Is it a real name yet, Sean?
It's almost there.
And the Cardinals, they go from a 6.5 point dog week one to a 6.5 point favorite week two, minus 275 on the money line. Washington, the football team, plus 225, 47.5 is the total. You know, my gut reaction to this one is, That's a big, like going from a dog, a scrappy dog, to the just the stone cold favorite. Doesn't that feel like a stretch?
Yeah,
hype team, and they're still the hype team, Sean.
They are still the hype team, but they were
some big ass game.
They did, but so did the football team.
I know that you're right.
They're both coming off huge division wins. Now Washington has to go almost across the country and play in Arizona.
Do they have the best defense in football? Could the football team have the best defense in football?
No, I don't think so. And here's
are they a top five defense?
Yeah, I think they're definitely a top 10, possibly a top five. And I think the way Wentz looked shitty and threw those interceptions, that was more on just Wentz not having good ball placement, not setting his feet properly.
Yeah, but bad defenses don't get those turnovers though.
No, and maybe their defensive backfield is better than I thought. That could be the possibility. I think Arizona and the air raid getting the ball out really quick. You saw them get the ball in DeAndre Hopkins' hands. Yep. Not holding on to the ball very long, and Kyler scrambled when he needed. I would have liked to seen Wentz run around a little bit. That's one way to minimize a pass rush is with your legs, and Kyler showed that. And San Francisco, that was a pretty good defensive line. They don't have DeForest Buckner anymore, but they still have Bosa. Like, that defensive line's pretty good. I don't think this Washington football team is mature enough to handle a road trip like this and play well. And the Washington offense didn't look that great. And that's more just an indictment on the Eagles and them turning the ball over
and
putting them in good spots.
Do you believe Arizona has a good defense, or do you believe that San Francisco was just flat? Because I'm more on the angle that it was more of a San Francisco offense didn't show up than Arizona all of a sudden has a great defense.
Yeah, for me, it's less about Arizona's defense being really good and being able to shut down the Washington offense. I don't think the Washington offense was that good. Like, they got put in good spots because of their defense turning Wentz over, but I think if Kyler can protect the ball, which I think he can do at home, I think they're going to struggle to put up points.
And that's what I would ask you then.
They're very predictable. They're running their pass plays. Like, you didn't see anything out of that team that you didn't think you could see.
But they were playing the Eagles, who is going to have a very good defense this year. At least the front part of that defense is going to be good. It's going to be hard to run against them.
But again, they were at home and they benefited from like a 3-0 turnover margin. Now, if they have a 3-0 turnover margin in Arizona, then yeah, they have a good shot to win. I don't see it.
You're missing. It was a compliment. It was saying you shouldn't compare what they looked like against an Eagles defense with how they're going to look against the Cardinals defense.
Okay. But I think that's just more who Haskins, and I think that's just kind of who they are.
Yeah. See, I think you're correct. I just couldn't justify laying 6.5 points with the Cardinals yet. Especially when the team they're playing looks to me like they're going to end up with a top five defense, and defenses can keep it close. Defenses can allow the offense to kind of start slowly. And don't forget the tight end matchup. Logan Thomas has a big game. Washington, unfortunately, the football team first place for another week, maybe, Sean. Next up, Baltimore heads to Houston. Houston with long rest on this one. They were 5.5 point dogs on the look ahead. They're now a full touchdown, +260 on the money line. Ravens -320, 51.5 is the total. I hate this game. I hate this game because it's so hard to be like, really, Deshaun Watt, 7 point home dog, 7 point home dog.
This is from another podcast, I think Against Odds. Since 2011, the team that lost the opening Thursday night game won their second game. So that's kind of a crazy trend. That being said, I mean,
goddamn, Baltimore is good, man.
Baltimore does everything good that the Chiefs do well, right? Like, with the mobile quarterback. Yeah. I mean, they run the ball better. I would even say, although the Chiefs ran the ball amazingly, Patrick Queen was coming up in a big way for them. Yep. They dominated the Browns at home. You know, Houston's their back is against the wall, but that team just feels fractured early. Ravens, they sacked Deshaun Watson 6 times last year. Like, why can they not do this again? They beat him 41-7 last year. And granted, that was in Houston, but I don't know what has changed. Like, the Texans have lost DeAndre Hopkins and they're feeding the ball to David Johnson. The Baltimore team just looks really good. And now maybe they were just fired up because they lost that playoff game and they came hard at home.
Let's talk about it. Why is this not more than a touchdown?
Well, they already moved it from 5.5 to 7. I think there's people that can talk themselves into Deshaun Watson at home getting 7 points. I'm going Ravens. I know it's super chalky, but I just don't see, like, what matchups are the Texans winning here?
We saw a decent amount of Ravens game, and it didn't feel like they did anything special.
No,
they didn't do anything special, and they just crushed. I don't think Cleveland's a horrible team. Not as bad as you. They're not a great team, but they crushed them, and division rival too. So to think that they can go on the road against the team, granted long rest, all that good stuff. They have to see this team for what they are, for how they looked on Thursday Night Football, and know that this is a game. If they go in there, they hit them in the mouth. Houston's not getting up off the mat. This is a different team. The Baltimore defense is a little bit different. They contain Watson. I'm with you, Sean. Let's go road chalk here. Cause I think it's more, I think let's not fade the Ravens until they're having to lay double digits. Cause the team's too good. They're just good. Kansas City, last of the afternoon slate. Kansas City also coming off that Thursday night spot. They're heading to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers in the new stadium, Sean.
Wow.
Big old empty stadium. Chargers are used to that.
Chargers didn't even get the opening game. Poor Chargers.
This number has moved from 7 all the way up to 9 for the fucking Chiefs, minus 400.
They could make it 13.
Chargers plus 310. 47.5 is the
Chiefs total. Are gonna roll. Andy Reid having a little bit of extra rest to figure out Anthony Lynn. I like that angle.
Yeah, you can't fade Andy Reid on extra rest.
This is a divisional game, but still it's under 9. Like, you saw how conservative.
Did you just say it's under?
Oh, sorry. I mean, I was going to say it's under 10. You saw how conservative that Chargers offense was, right? And I mean, I just don't see how they're going to put up enough points to stay in the mix with this Kansas City team. I mean, now granted, it's not technically a dome because there's like open air on the side, although it's a fixed roof. Very confusing.
Sean's very angry about this.
Well, because I got in an argument with a guy where they were saying they were thinking of not playing the game in LA because of the smoke. And I'm like, what the hell? It's a dome. And then he's like, it's actually an open stadium. I'm like, what are you talking about? Went back and forth. We figured it out. But the Chiefs are just gonna, I mean, that offense is so high powered. Edwards-Helaire, who even you thought like, oh, maybe it'll take him a little bit to get going. Secretly, they'll use Williams a little bit more. That didn't go. They didn't look like they had any bit of rust.
They were playing against Houston. There is that.
But where do you have Houston versus the Chargers?
Defensively, I think that the Chargers are going to give them a look from a pass rushing perspective that they didn't see against Houston.
That's true.
Houston doesn't have a pass rush, and then they also don't have a back end. So Houston, we walked into that game knowing Houston. In hindsight, we got cute taking the points because that defense is going to struggle. And what we saw that was surprising on offense was Deshaun Watson struggled in ways that he typically doesn't. And perhaps that's because he didn't have D-Hop to just sling the ball to. I don't know. I certainly wouldn't want to bank on it. But yeah, so I guess with the Kansas City spot, I'm going to stupidly... Maybe I'm just trolling Chiefs fans at this point, Sean.
Taking the Chargers, Ryan.
But give me the Chargers. It's a lot of points.
Super You're right. Chargers. I don't see Mahomes having a good game in the dome.
The pass rush is different. We'll see what happens. I will be the first to say that maybe I got too cute on this one. Sunday Night Football. The New England Patriots. Cam Newton heading up to Seattle. The Seahawks 4-point favorites, minus 205 on the money line. Patriots plus 175, 45 is the total.
You hear that, Ryan? It's the sound of Russ cooking. Shout out to Pat Fisher for pulling that sweet cooking sound effect. They let him cook, Ryan, and he didn't disappoint. Insane game when you have more touchdowns than incompletes. 4 touchdowns, 3 incompletes for Russell Wilson, who's truly
unlimited.
Why is this 4? Because are we excited that Cam won a game against the Dolphins?
Yeah, I think people are talking themselves into Belichick. He's got it all figured out.
They showed up nicely in the DVOA paper.
But, I mean, Russell Wilson has quietly had Bill Belichick's number.
Number 2 team in DVOA. Granted, early season, it's hard to really look at it, but still.
Russell has thrown for 888 yards, 8 touchdowns, and just 1 interception in 3 games against the Patriots. We all know that 1 interception, pretty big one, decided the Super Bowl. I think Jamal Adams is actually going to be the key to this game. We saw him getting involved in that game against Atlanta. And I think he's going to, they're going to move him up in the box. He's going to help kind of short, you know, he's going to help in the run. Like if you're Seahawks, just load up the box. And they're, and the Patriots are dealing with a lot of injuries. Like they're banged up. Now, who knows? That could just be old Belichick playing with the injury report. But I mean, you look at their, I'll pull it up in a second, but they have a lot of guys banged up.
Well, and Sean, I would say this, that Seattle, if you want to critique their defense, I think they have some things to figure out in the secondary, obviously. But they look pretty good against the run, and granted the game script made it so that it's skewed.
Well, yeah, but also Atlanta's at home with a much more dynamic skill players than what the Patriots are trotting out.
Well, that's where I'm getting to though. Like, so Seattle appears to have some competency playing the run on defense. Meanwhile, when you look at what Seattle, I think at their core wants to do, it's run the ball. And that is the weakness of this Patriots defense as usual. Granted, again, one game. So I'm pulling things out of my ass a little bit to use numbers, but we have to use something. And the main take I have on this is just, I know the look ahead was 3.5. I just think Seattle answered a lot of questions for us in that. Yes, this is a team that's absolutely going for a championship this year. Meanwhile, I think everyone expected the Patriots to be a competitive team. And now that they've won a game and Cam had a couple touchdowns, we're getting a little excited. We're getting ahead of ourselves. I'd be very surprised if the Patriots sniff a win here. I think this spread's wrong. And I think it's wrong by a mile. I think this is a touchdown game, if not more. Potential lock here.
Look out.
Potential lock on Sunday.
Seattle's a good team.
Really good team. They're only going to get better too. I know Belichick's teams get better, but I just feel like this is actually a good spot to fade them. Saints, Monday Night Football. They head to Las Vegas where the Raiders are opening the, what are we calling it? The Death Star?
Death Star.
And they open as a 6-point dog. How disrespectful. Plus 200
get our shit going mentally.
On the money line. 49.5 is the total. Saints minus 240. Sean, call me crazy. No Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Gruden has this team firing. We didn't see the offense look that good in a lot of games last year, let alone on the East Coast. Granted, they were playing a really bad team, but this is Drew Brees going away from home. And who knows what kind of devilish activities might take place in Las Vegas.
A couple of things to talk about. Michael Thomas, I didn't think he was going to play. It sounds like he is going to play, but it's with a high ankle sprain, and that's always a bitch. So I'm going to say he's a non-factor. Sean,
Saquon Barkley has more alien DNA than Michael Thomas. Fact. And he really struggled to come back off the high ankle sprain. So I think if he truly
is he still coming back from it?
Oh, stop it, Sean. If he's
6 yards.
If he's truly coming off, if he truly has a high ankle sprain, there's no way Michael Thomas.
No, maybe able to trot him out there as a decoy, but I don't see him
cutting a high ankle sprain.
No. And Carolina, that's not an easy spot to play in. You didn't know what the Matt Rhule offense would look like. They let up a lot of points, but they were able to run the ball pretty well. Breeze only threw for 160 yards against the Bucks.
Well, and the story really is Josh. So yes, Carolina, maybe their run defense really, really, really sucks, but Josh Jacobs, he looked pretty good. And I think, you know, for all the talk we have about New Orleans and that defense, I think we're going to see over the course of this season that you can run on them. And I think that we're going to see the story of this game will be, oh, what's wrong with Drew Brees? They've only scored 17. It's going to be a low scoring game. That's my take on this one. I would go under and then I would take the home team, home dog.
Yeah. I'm on the Raiders here too. Who, you know, we always like to give Gruden shit. But I think plus 6.
We once said we wouldn't bet on Gruden again, Sean.
Yeah.
Are we breaking that rule?
I don't know. I'm not going to lock this up. Not going to put it in the super contest, but yeah, I'll take Raiders plus 6.
I'm really excited to figure out which 5 we're going with, cuz we disagreed on a lot of shit this week.
We did, Ryan. But again, time for the Lock Dog Tees presented by mybookie.ag. Promo code SGP for 100% deposit bonus. Ryan, throw out your lock.
Seattle. That's not good. I mean,
yeah.
Don't overthink it. Seattle is the lock this week for the dog. There are a couple ways you can have some fun this weekend, but I'm gonna play a home team. You know, you like the home dog, and no, it's not the Chargers. I'm not really gonna troll Chiefs fans right now. I'm gonna take the Las Vegas Raiders plus 200 on the money line here. I think the Saints, they took care of business, but this is a weird spot, and I like it better than the Dolphins. That was another one in contention there. So, and then for my tees, lots of fun numbers to tease. Not a ton of value, but Pittsburgh minus 1.5. That's going to be a good one to throw in there. Tennessee minus 2.5. Again, going for some of the Wong tees down. And then the last one, if you're not teasing this game, you're crazy. Maybe something we're talking about for a survivor pick, maybe not a good spot, but Baltimore minus 1 against Houston. Bill O'Brien, not doing it right there.
For my lock, give me the Green Bay Packers minus 6.
Ooh, interesting, Sean. Really?
Love going against that banged up line secondary.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they got no one. For my dog, again, riding the injury news, going against that banged up offensive line, give me the Denver Broncos plus 280.
Oh, interesting.
Sorry, Ryan. It's a big dog. I don't know if big dogs make you uncomfortable.
Interesting.
Three team tees. Give me Baltimore down to 1. I'll do KC down to 3.
Oh, moving across a couple key numbers there.
Yeah. 9-3 is always a good one. And then let's see my last one.
Well, you like San Francisco. You probably want to tease that down.
Yeah. I don't know. That's such a weird,
you like,
oh, you know what? I'll do Buffalo pick. Fuck it.
All right.
The three team road tease. Jesus, what could Christ go wrong, Ryan? All right. So let's figure out our survivor pick, Ryan.
This is a tough week.
We're in the circus survivor.
For me,
it's easy. Cause it's Green Bay, but,
is this the week to take Green Bay though?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I guess you'd want to see, are there spots down the road that you might want to take the Packers, like when they have the Jags at home in November?
Got to make it to week 3, Ryan. That's the goal.
They play the Panthers towards the end of the season as well. That's the most obvious one for you.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I guess we could do Baltimore. We seem to agree on Baltimore.
That's another one where it's like, is it really time?
But we're going against that trend of people going against the. So Green Bay's my vote. What do you got, Ryan?
I would have said Tennessee. I would have said Pittsburgh. To be honest with you, you don't like either one of those.
Yes.
So now we're in a predicament.
I guess we just go with Baltimore. Fuck it. Or Seattle.
Seattle would be an onions play, right?
Dare we tempt the fate of going against Bill Belichick?
That doesn't seem like a smart maneuver. But when you do look at the Seahawks play some team, they play the Jets at home later in the season. So maybe again, an opportunity situation where we wouldn't want to take them right now. You're not worried at all about the Packers. Just you're buying them off being hot, off coming out with a big win.
Yeah, but
they were a regression team, Sean. We called them out as a regression team.
No, I think all that makes sense for the season, but Detroit has no one in their starting secondary. Like, how is he not going to pick them apart? Could take the Colts. That's a crazy survivor play.
Is it? We haven't seen enough yet from them.
No, they lost to the Jags. That's all they did.
You know what? I'm getting cute. Switch my pick to the Packers.
Oh, wow.
Let's take the Packers in the survivor pool.
All right, Ryan.
I went through their schedule again. And while sure, they might have some spots that look a little better later in the season, it's not the craziest thing to burn them now.
Okay. So for the Capra Cup and the Circa Millions contest, we're both on Seattle minus 4.
Yeah. I guess throw Green Bay in there now.
Green Bay minus 6.
Off the fucking lion ship. If we miss this one, we're going to have words. If you're asking me for another game that I would put pretty high up, Indy at minus 3 is interesting. Philly pick is pretty, I mean, I know you probably don't need help putting Philly into the thing. I don't worry.
Feel great about that.
I don't see a lot of dogs on the card, but that, which isn't a problem. Sometimes you don't want to force it.
Oh, we could do Carolina or Atlanta. Toss one of those in.
But we both like Baltimore.
Oh, you're right.
What if we just said fuck?
Just go trying super to chalk. Work
a dog in there.
Baltimore -7, and then. So we have right now for our five, Seattle -4, Green Bay -6, Indy -3, Baltimore -7.
Dude, fuck you. Well, I mean, I think we both like no, we can't do the Raiders, right? That's crazy. No.
Long Cox.
Do we do Carolina or do we do the Eagles or Atlanta? Those are our three options, Ryan. What do you want? Let's do it.
Carolina.
Yeah.
No, we take it's the Eagles.
All right.
Well, you don't
Ryan's,
like that?
Ryan's picking it. I'm not.
You don't think the Eagles is a great pick this week? I'm surprised I didn't give it out as a lock.
Oh, great. I don't need your lock stink all over the Eagles. Oh man, what a fun podcast.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast. That
we took the Eagles. Should we switch it? No, we're going to keep it. Which one are we locking up for the Capper Cup?
I mean, Indy -3 or we can lock up Seattle -4.
Seattle. That's the move. Let's do it.
Throw in a five-star review. Every Monday we'll be pulling a five-star review and giving away some free merch. That really helps us climb the podcast charts and destroy all the fucking nerds.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. Been getting a lot of great feedback on the podcast. Check out all the other pods up on the network. Tons of free content on the website. Give us a follow on Twitter at Gambling Podcast. And for the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Happy week two, y'all.
Kramer, let it ride.
It's finally spring, and I'm saying goodbye snow, hello adventure. And during the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event, you can get epic deals on your favorite Honda model. Ready to get rugged? Then take the off-road in an all-wheel drive Honda SUV, like the CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, or redesigned Ridgeline. Want to take a spring road trip? Then check out a fuel-efficient turbocharged Civic or Accord. Say goodbye to winter and hello to a new Honda. Don't miss huge savings during the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event, now at your local Honda dealer.